You're listening to a presentation brought to you by Mystery Play Internet Radio.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no ease.com.
Notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. I've been on the air directing and acting in my own shows for quite a while now, and I don't suppose I've done more than half a dozen thrillers in all that time. Honestly, I don't think even that many, but it seems I do have a reputation for the uncanny. Quite possibly, a little escapade of mine involving a couple of planets, which shall be nameless, is responsible. Doesn't really matter. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
First, a message from our sponsor. ...8 o'clock on Sunday morning, the second day in the City of the Dead. 8 o'clock in the morning after a night of unearthly events and sudden death. And it all seems to be centered about the caretaker's cottage at the gate of the old abandoned cemetery. Those present include the caretaker himself, better known as Mayor Joshua Friday, Dr. Tooner, retired, all his patients are laid away in the City of the Dead, Captain Friday, son of the mayor, and private investigator from San Francisco, who has come down to the City of the Dead to help his father fight grave robbers. The only persons caught in the net so far are Jimmy Parker, a nice-looking college boy, and his girlfriend, Phyllis Carroll. At 2 o'clock this fog-choked winter morning, Captain Friday was roused from sleep to find a phantom-like white-robed figure, its face covered with long, white, flowing hair, patrolling about the caretaker's cottage.
Yes, I awakened Jimmy Parker, and the two of us slipped out of the house and around the corner just in time to see the phantom creature leap on the figure of a man. who at the moment was attempting to break into the cottage. The man died instantly under the gleaming knife in the creature's clawed hand. Before Parker or I could stop it, the thing had gone.
Yeah, Captain Friday and I rushed to the scene, but the housebreaker was dead. Captain Friday sent me back into the house for Dr. Tooner. I wasn't gone more than a couple of minutes, but when we got back, not only was the murdered man gone, but Captain Friday was lying on the ground, unconscious. And a peculiar thing. All the time this was happening, Mayor Friday's been missing from the cottage. But now it's 8 o'clock the next morning, and Phyllis is telling what she saw.
I tell you, I saw it all from my window.
You were awake, Miss Carroll?
The scream of that man outside my window awakened me.
You mean the man that was murdered?
Yes. Who was he, Captain Friday?
I don't know. He was trying to break into Parker's room when the family ghost jumped him.
It sprang on his back like an animal and was gone quicker than a flash.
Stabbed him in the back. He was dead when I reached him.
That's what I heard. I jumped out of bed and I looked out through the bars of my window. You were just bending over the body, Captain Friday.
Well?
I didn't know what had happened. It was too dark to tell who you were. Then all at once I saw two shadows creeping up on you from behind.
Two?
Yes, there were two. Suddenly I heard myself scream.
I heard you. That's what brought me to my feet just in time to get that crack on the side of the head.
That's funny. Dr. Tooner and I didn't hear a scream, did we, Doctor? But where did Dr. Tooner go?
Said he was going to walk around while he smoked his after-breakfast cigar.
Well, anyway, we didn't hear Phyllis scream.
Well, I did. I must have frightened the men. They didn't wait to examine Captain Friday. They just grabbed the body of the murdered man and ran.
Did you see the face of either of my attackers, Miss Carroll?
No, I was too frightened to notice.
Captain Friday, did you find out where the mayor was all this time last night?
What difference does it make, Parker?
What? Nothing, only... Well, Dr. Tooner thought it rather peculiar.
Did, huh? Well, there seem to be a lot of peculiar things going on around here.
Do you think that ghoulish killer we saw last night was a man in disguise?
At least it was human.
You didn't really think anything could actually look like that, do you?
Oh, Jimmy, let's not keep still any longer. I'd rather go to jail right now than spend another night here.
Phyllis, keep still.
If you're part of this gang of cutthroats...
Oh, we're not. We're not.
Look here, Captain Friday. If we tell you everything, will you let us go?
I can't promise that.
Well, will you take us away from the City of the Dead?
You indicated last night that the presence of you and Miss Carroll was aggravating the situation. That it was due to your being in the City of the Dead that all these murders are taking place.
No, no.
Oh, we're only part of the cause.
I see. Well, you see how it is. If I let you two slip through my fingers, my only tangible clue to the whole business would be gone. No, you've got to stay here.
You can't keep us here. We'll be killed. You saw what happened last night. That fella cut through the bars of my window. They'll try again, and next time they'll get me. I know they will.
You needn't worry about that. I'll fix the windows so they'll be murder-proof. Now, you're going to tell me what it's all about?
Oh, Jimmy, let's tell him. Please, Jimmy. We can't be any worse off than we are now.
Well, then I'll tell you. I'm going with Dr. Tooner and the mayor over to Lammy Fink's cabin this morning. After that, we're going down to the old church. I'll lock you two up together and you can thrash the thing out. But mind you, I expect an explanation tonight.
Oh, yes, but put us together. I couldn't bear to be alone in this horrible place again.
You understand, don't you, Parker?
I'm not promising anything.
So much the worse for you if you don't come through.
Oh, Captain! Captain Friday!
Hello, now what's up?
Hey, Captain Friday! Now, what in thunder do you suppose has happened?
Find another corpse, Dr. Tooner?
No, I didn't. But that grave we opened last night has all been filled up and the sod put back on it. Don't look as though it had ever been touched.
Filled up, huh? Now, there's an idea. Graves automatically opened and closed while you wait.
I tell you, Captain, this is no laughing matter. Something bigger than the mayor and I ever figured on has broken loose. Wait, where is the mayor, anyhow?
Catching up on the sleep he lost last night.
Where was the mayor last night, Captain?
Don't you know?
I swear I don't.
You were supposed to be sleeping with him. If you don't know, how should I?
I didn't even know he'd left the bed until Parker came in and woke me up. I swear I didn't. You don't think old Doc Tooner and your own dad would hold out on you, do you, boy?
Something's funny somewhere. Now I want you and Dad to go over to Lammy Fink's place with me.
I don't see what good that'll do.
After that, we'll run down to the old church ruins and see if we can find out who took a shot at Dad night before last.
Yeah, I've told you all I know.
Maybe.
Well, you don't suppose we'd have brought you down here in the first place if we'd had anything to hold back, do you?
I'm not supposing anything. I'm putting facts together. Doc, go rout out the mayor and we'll be starting. How far is Lammy Fink's house from the City of the Dead, Mayor?
Just a hop and a jump. But it ain't a house, son. Just a shack. Look here. You can see it yonder among the trees. Built it himself at odd times.
Gloomy place for a house. Looks more like a hunted animal's hole.
Yeah, he acts like a hunted animal most of the time, don't he, Mayor?
Yeah, he's a little off, all right.
I'd rather sleep in the city of the dead than down in this hovel.
Not Lammy. He's graveyard shy after dark.
Oh, this is it. Lammy Fink's residence. One room, one door, and no window.
And a cellar.
Cellar? I didn't know about that. Never even thought of a cellar when I was over the other day.
Well, then that's the first place we'll look. Go ahead, Dad. You know the way. Lean on.
Yeah, there's no need to lead. The sheer path leads around the house to the cellar steps.
All right, keep going. Here's the steps. Seem to go down under the house. I'll lead off with my flashlight. When I get to the bottom of the cellar steps, one of you follow, then the other. And take it easy. Those steps don't look any too solid.
They ain't.
Looks dark and murky down there. There I go.
Watch out you don't break your neck.
Well, these steps won't hold much weight.
Hey, Captain! Captain!
What a rat trap this turned out to be.
Son, are you hurt?
Hello down there. Captain, are you still alive?
Yes, of course I am. I've lost my flashlight, and it's blacker than an old man's future down here.
Light a match. Well,
give a man a chance to pull himself together, Doc. Still got two or three steps around my neck.
Can we help?
As soon as I unscramble myself. Hey, what's that? Hey, Doc Turner, Mayor. I'm holed up down here with a body.
Who is it, Captain?
How do I know? We just met here in the dark.
Well, why don't you light a match and find out? We can't get down to the cellar without a rope now that the stairs are busted. How'd you happen to find it?
It just reached out and lay hold of me.
Jiminy crickets.
There. I'm on my feet again. Now for a light. Well, I'll... Hey, there are three. Doc, Mayor. There are three bodies down here in this cellar.
Watch that.
What did he say?
Did you hear me? There are three bodies down here.
That ladder will hold any of us. Now, Dr. Turner, I want you and Dad to come on down into the cellar with me and examine those bodies. One of them is Lammy Fink, all right enough. One of them is the strangled fellow we dug up, and the other is the man who was stabbed to death last night.
Yeah, if you know so much about him, why should we go down and look at him?
I want to see if you know either of the unidentified bodies.
I'd bet money I don't, but come along, son.
What makes you think you don't, Mayor?
Trying to get something on your father, boy.
Never mind, come along. Careful on the ladder. There you are. Now, over this way. Look out for those boxes. All right, I'll hold the torch for you. There they are. Three bodies laid out side by side.
Yes. There's Lammy. Poor old fella. How do you suppose he died, son?
I can't find a mark on him anywhere, Dad. But get that look of terror on his face.
You mean he was scared to death?
Take a look for yourself. How long's Lammy been dead, Doctor?
Well, at least 36 hours.
You certain of that?
Well, that's fairly accurate.
Then Lammy Fink couldn't possibly have filled up the grave we opened last night.
He could not.
And who did do it? Dad, you said that you and Lammy were the only ones capable of doing an expert job of replacing turf on a grave.
Yeah, I said it all right.
Well, Dad?
Must have been wrong.
You mean there's someone else around the City of the Dead who's capable of such work?
Looks like it, don't it?
Well, never mind. Mayor, did you or Dr. Turner ever see either of these other two bodies before? I mean, while they were alive?
Not me, Captain.
I don't know nothing about them, boy.
That's darn funny. I've been through their clothes. Not a thing to identify them. No... Listen.
Footsteps. There's someone in the shack overhead.
Shh, just a moment.
Who's that, you suppose?
There's somebody up there, all right. Come on, we'll go up after him. Take it easy. We don't want to frighten him off. Up you go, Doc. You next, Dad.
Yeah.
Come Come on up, Captain. Everything's clear.
Yep. There. Here, I'll pull the ladder up, and then no one's likely to bother the bodies while we're away.
Captain, I smell smoke.
That's it, smoke. I knew I smelled something.
Look, look, the cabin's on fire. Quick, we gotta stop it. Come on around the house, quick. Get water from the creek. Look, look, look there. Holy mackerel, what a blaze.
Hey, somebody set that fire. The house has been saturated with oil. Look at that black smoke.
But where's the fella we heard walking around?
He's probably a mile away by this time.
Of all the cockeyed, lunk-headed fools. Now we've lost those bodies.
But couldn't we still get him out?
That cellar was a furnace 30 seconds after that fire was set. There goes that can of kerosene I saw in the cellar. That ends that.
But why in tarnation did anyone want to burn down Lammy's shack?
Ask me a hard one, Doc. Somebody doesn't want us to know who's being murdered.
Dead men can't talk, especially after they've been cremated. But there is still the contents of Ernie Morton's grave and old Clawfoot down in the abandoned church. But more of that in a moment.
We've been dawdling, Captain Friday. It's almost 1 o'clock already, and we promised the mayor we'd meet him at the cottage at 2.
Well, there's the old church just ahead.
Yeah, gloomy as ever.
You know, Doctor, this place has always given me the creeps. Even when I was a kid. The mayor never brought me here unless it was to arrange for a funeral.
Well, that's about all it was ever used for, as far back as I can remember. Funerals and now and again a country wedding.
This is the first time I've been near the place since it was abandoned. But I remember the day they found the old bell ringer hanging by the neck in the study.
Well, I always did think the place was infested with...
With what?
With something ghoulish.
That's a nice thought.
And our visit night before last only went to confirm my opinion.
You mean the claw-footed man?
Oh, he was only the climax of the whole business. I tell you, the place absolutely reeks of something unhealthy.
Oh, that's probably the bats.
Plenty of them here.
Well, shall we go in? From the slant of that roof, I'd say the whole place would be tumbling in another year.
Careful. The mayor went through the floor the other night.
Gloomy as the inside of a grave in here.
Yeah. Don't you feel it?
Feel what, Doc?
The moment I stepped in here out of the sunshine, I felt something come over me like a slimy, wet cloak. Don't you get it, Captain?
You give yourself the creeps if you keep that up. All I get is an unpleasant smell of mustiness and decay. The place is rotten to the foundation.
Yeah, there's something more than a physical rottenness here, Captain. I smell something else.
Yeah?
I tell you, I do.
Well, shall we go back and have a look at the old study? That's where the mayor was shot, wasn't it?
That's right. That's where we ran into the claw-footed man or beast or whatever he is.
Did you leave the doors shut when you carried the mayor out the other night?
I did not. I was too scared. I just picked up the mayor and dashed through. The door was still open.
Well, it's shut now.
Oh, by jingo, that's right. Do you suppose that thing's in there now?
I got my gun handy to pot him if he is.
You better not stand in front of the door. You'll know what happened to me last night.
You stand at the side of the door. I'm going to block the way.
Don't be a fool, son. You're liable to get hurt.
Not while I've got this little plaything in my hand.
Well, I warned you.
You ready?
Go on, open the door and get it over with. Captain, are you hurt?
What in the Sam Hill kind of a thing is that? I'm a bald-headed liar if that jack-in-the-box didn't kick me in the face.
Are you hurt, Captain? Are you all right? Here, let me help you up.
And of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be all right?
That was a nasty fall.
Fall? That claw-footed old boy with his white beard knocked me down and walked the full length of me. Look at me. His dusty footprints all over my front. Oh. Did I say I was going to block his path?
I got one good look at him, an ugly critter. Flowing white hair, a face that looked like a death mask.
I've seen him before. He's the chap that murdered the housebreaker last night. I wonder who he thinks he is in those long white robes.
Crazy as a gooey duck. Say, we'll need some kind of a light in this study.
I still got my flashlight.
Turn her on.
Yeah. How's that?
Good. Yep. Great jumping Jehoshaphat. Captain, look there on the floor behind you.
A skeleton.
Human bones. All laid out in order.
Laid out is right. Looks like old Clawfoot was in here reconstructing a skeleton.
Where do you think they came from?
The bones? Probably out of one of the graves in the City of the Dead. Nice person, old Clawfoot. I don't care for the company he keeps.
He's crazier than I thought. Imagine a guy shutting himself up in a dark room to play with a human skeleton.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to do some close inspection on the mayor's graves out yonder. This seems to indicate that grave robbing has sort of become a practice down here.
I told you something unhealthy was going on in this place.
Well, old Clawfoot never lacked for company. Whenever he got lonesome or downhearted, he just up and digs himself a skeleton to amuse him.
Here, Captain, where do you suppose this old fool lives?
Offhand, I'd say he'd been making this his headquarters.
There's no sign of a place to sleep here, and there's no food.
Well, that's something I'll have to look into. Now, Doc, where's this bell rope the mayor was pulling on the night he was shot?
Right there, Rick. Oh, it's gone.
Gone? Where was it?
Well, it hung right down there where you're standing.
Look at the ceiling. No hole in the ceiling for it to come through.
Well, there was a rope. What's more, he just pulled it and he was shot.
And you're certain the door was shut at the time?
It certainly was. Anyway, the shot came from across the room.
No window. Are you certain there was no one else in the room with you, too?
Well, of course there wasn't.
Where'd the shot come from, then?
The same place the bell rope's gone to. What in tunket does he do that for, going around making noises like a sick cat?
Oh, we'd seen the last of him today. Could we try to grab him?
Don't you think we'd better finish looking over these ruins?
What more is there to see?
Well, you haven't been up in the belfry yet.
Well, climb that rotten ladder? Not me, Doc.
The mayor and I did it, and in the dark, too.
Well, that was your own funeral. You can see with half an eye that you two are the only ones who've been up there in the last 10 years. Look at the dust and dirt and the cobwebs. Come on, we spent an hour in here. That's enough. I want to get my hands on that fella. Come on, it's 1 o'clock. We told the mayor we'd be back by 2.
All right, anything's better in this place.
Well, come on out in the sunshine and get it out of your system. Oh, where is our sunshine?
Fog, if that ain't the luck. First afternoon fog we've had this season.
That puts an end to hunting old Clawfoot.
Yeah, miserable stuff, fog. Gets in your nostrils, wets your clothes, hides murders.
Come on out of it, Doc. You'll feel better when you had your lunch. Let's go back to the cottage.
You going
to
leave that skeleton in there?
Why, yes. You don't want to pack it around with us, do you?
You jackass.
It's as well off there as anywhere until we can find the grave it was taken from. Perhaps that's old Ernie Morton's skeleton. We'll dig in his grave this afternoon.
There you are. There you are. Oh, thank goodness you've come at last. Captain, come in the house quick. Come in here.
What is it, Dan?
Mayor, you're as white as a ghost.
Well, if I'd have had a gun handy, I'd have shot that fella where he stood.
Shot who? What are you talking about?
Come on in. Hurry up. You too, Doc. You'll have to tend to the girl.
Girl? You mean Miss Carroll?
Here, shut the door, Doc. That Parker fella stabbed the girl. He killed her, too, if I hadn't arrived just when I did.
Stabbed Phyllis Carroll?
So he did.
Wait a minute, Dan. Did you see him stab her?
Just as I come in the house, I heard her scream. I rushed in and unlocked the door. And there she was, lying on her face on the floor. Parker was standing over with this bloody knife in his hand.
Where is the girl?
In her room. Go on in and see what you can do for her, Doc. She's unconscious.
Go ahead, Doc. Tell me how she is as soon as you can.
All right.
Now then, Dad, where's Parker?
He's locked in this closet. The bars on the window to his room's cut. I wasn't taking any chance of losing him.
I'll let him out. Let's see what he has to say.
Parker said he didn't do it.
Catch him!
What in blazes? Is he dead?
Dad, you've smothered him in that closet. Get me some water. Hi, Doc, come here.
What's the matter?
Get a move on.
Now, what's the matter?
Hello. What's happened to Parker?
Smothered in that little closet. His heart's still going.
Yeah, he's going to be all right. Just a faint. Mayor, throw a little water in his face. There he comes. Here you are, boy. Drink a little of this water. He's going to be fit in a jiffy. Girl's not in any danger either. Flesh wound and a little blood, that's all.
Air. Let me out of here. Give me air.
He's all right now, huh? Go back to the girl. She'll be around in a few minutes, too.
Air. Where am I?
You're all right now, Parker. Here, can you sit up? Give me a hand, Mayor. We'll get him in the chair.
All right.
Yeah, how's that?
Oh, rotten. What'd you want to do, smother me?
Well, you had it coming. What'd you mean, stabbing a girl?
I didn't. I told you that before.
I saw you.
You saw me stab Phyllis?
I saw you with the bloody knife in your hands, bending over. You'd have finished her off if I hadn't rushed into the room.
You old fool.
That talk won't do you any good, Parker. Now, what's your version of this affair?
Well, Phyllis and I had been talking for about an hour.
Talking about what?
Whether we should tell you all we know.
Did you decide to talk?
No.
Did you quarrel?
Well, she turned her back on me and called me pig-headed.
She was insistent on talking and you refused, huh?
Yes.
You know that what she could tell might get you in serious trouble, is that right?
I suppose so.
So you decided to stab her to death to prevent her talking?
No, no, it isn't so.
Not so. And what did happen?
You won't believe me.
You bet I won't.
Hold it, will you, Dad?
Well...
Go on, Parker.
Well, when she turned her back on me, I walked away. Went over to the dresser and put out my cigarette in the ashtray.
Your back was to her?
Yes. Suddenly she screamed. I turned just in time to see her fall with a knife in her back.
Likely story.
I told you you wouldn't believe me.
Go on, I haven't said I didn't believe you, Parker. Then what happened?
I was so confused, I don't hardly know what I did. I guess I dashed over to Phyllis and bent over her. I don't remember pulling the knife out of her back, but I suppose I did. Because I know I had it in my hand wondering where it came from when Mayor Friday rushed in and grabbed it away from me.
Wondered where it came from.
Well, I didn't have any knife. How could I have done it?
Knife might have been in the room. You recognize it, Dan?
No. Parker could have smuggled it in with him. He's had every opportunity.
Well, I didn't.
How was the girl standing?
Facing the door.
Oh. I would have put her back to the window, wouldn't I?
Yes.
And if you were at the bureau, you couldn't have seen a window, I don't suppose.
No.
With the shade and window raised?
Well, the shade was. I don't know about the window.
Hey, Doc.
All right.
Is the window up in there?
Yeah. Clear up.
Well, there's a possible out for you, Parker. A good knife thrower could have sent a knife through the bars of the window without any trouble.
You think that's what happened?
I'm not thinking anything. I merely say it's a possibility.
Well, I didn't do it. Think I'd hurt the girl I'm engaged to?
People will do strange things to save their own skins. So you're engaged to Miss Carroll?
Well, practically.
What does that mean?
Well, we've kind of got an understanding.
You asked her to marry you?
No. That is,
In other words, you said that about the engagement because you thought it would be a point in your favor. Look, Parker, you better stick to facts or you're going to get yourself in one fine mess.
Well, I intend to ask her.
I don't know whether you do or not.
Hey, Captain! Come in here. The girl's coming, too. Come in and give me a hand.
Come on, Parker.
Come on in here, Captain. Help me with her. I've got her all bandaged.
Oh, no.
Ain't you ashamed of yourself, Parker?
You let me alone.
Keep still, both of you.
There. You mustn't cry. Just lie perfectly still.
Oh, Phyllis, are you all right?
Jimmy.
Yes, Phyllis, I'm here.
Oh, Jimmy, why did you stab me? Why did you do it?
In the midst of the desperate happenings in the City of the Dead, has Jimmy Parker turned on his own companion, Phyllis Carroll? And what about the phantom claw-footed killer and the desecrated graves? Who is disturbing the dead? And what do they expect to find, save moldering bones? Listen next week to the fifth episode of Carlton E. Morse's City of the Dead, entitled The Skeleton Walks In. Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder... come with me.
Eight o'clock on the third night in the City of the Dead. In the afternoon of the second day in the old abandoned cemetery, Captain Friday had locked Jimmy Parker and Phyllis Carroll together and had taken his father, the mayor, and old Dr. Tooner to Lammy Fink's cabin on the edge of the cemetery. They had found three bodies in the cellar. One was the strangled body found in old Ernie Morton's grave. The second was the body of the man whom the claw-footed phantom had killed at the back of the mayor's cottage. The third was Lammy Fink. According to Captain Friday, he'd been scared to death.
That's right. And while we were in the cellar examining the bodies, the cabin mysteriously burst into flames and we barely escaped with our lives. The bodies were completely consumed. After this experience, the old mayor, my father, complained of being tired and returned to his cottage inside the gates of the City of the Dead. Dr. Tooner and I went down to the deserted ruins of a church to look for the phantom church bell. In the musty rectory where the bell ringer had hanged himself 10 years before, we found old Clawfoot amusing himself with a human skeleton. But the queer creature with flowing beard and flowing robes got away from us. Returning to the caretaker's cottage, we found my dad upset and Phyllis Carroll with a stab wound in her back just under the shoulder blade. Jimmy Parker had been locked in the room with the girl at the time, but he denied the deed. Then Phyllis regained consciousness and sobbed out, "Oh, Jimmy, why did you stab me?" That was at 2 p.m. Now at 8 p.m, Dr. Tooner is with his patient.
Dr. Tooner, am I going to die?
I reckon you aren't even going to be very sick, Miss Carroll. Just lost a mite of blood, and the wound won't even leave a scar. Feel much better after a little sleep, don't you?
Oh, I've been asleep.
Well, sure you have. Here, let me fix that pillow. Lie on your left side just a little. That'll ease that sick shoulder of yours. Look mighty pretty in that outfit, Miss Carroll, with the firelight playing on you.
Oh, I must look terrible. I've been crying so much, but...
Not a bit of it. You look like a young girl should look.
Oh, Dr. Tooner, what would make Jimmy do a thing like that?
No, you'd better let Captain Friday figure that out. That's his business. By the way, he wants to bring Parker in here as soon as you feel like it.
Oh, no, please. I can't face Jimmy after
I reckon that'll be necessary, Miss Carroll.
Do I have to see him?
Can't be helped, I'm afraid.
Well, all right, then.
Good. We'll have him in now and get it over with. Captain Friday and his father have Parker in his room, giving him a going over. I'll just call him. Hi there, Captain.
That you, Doctor?
Miss Carroll's ready to see you next door.
Good. Come on out, fella. Come on, Mayor.
I'd rather not see Phyllis tonight.
You know, what you want hasn't got anything to do with it. Go on in there and sit down.
Okay. Have it your way, then.
No. I want you facing the girl. Sit in that straight chair.
Yeah, if I'd have known he's going to be all this rumpus, I'd have said take him to the city and lock him up from the first.
Never mind, Mayor. We'll get things straightened out for you in the City of the Dead. I know the reason why. Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Parker?
No, I'm not.
I suppose you only regret that you didn't kill Miss Carroll outright, huh?
Oh, Jimmy.
You look here. I didn't stab Phyllis. How many times do I have to tell you?
Miss Carroll says you did.
Well, I didn't.
You said he did, didn't you, Miss Carroll?
Yes.
You see, Parker...
I'd like to hear her tell how I did it.
I haven't any objection to that. Miss Carroll, do you mind?
Oh, how could you, Jimmy? And all the time I thought it was you and me against everyone.
Phyllis, how can you even think?
Never mind, Parker. Tell your story, Miss Carroll.
Well, we were talking...
Tell us what you were talking about.
I wanted to tell you everything we know about all this. I wanted to take a chance that you would help us out of a bad situation. Jimmy said no. He said that we...
Go on.
He said the circumstantial evidence was too strong against us. That we might...
You might what?
We might be found guilty of murder by our own words.
Oh, I see. And you wanted to take a chance and tell anyway.
Yes. I thought if we told everything now, we'd have a better chance than if we waited for you to find out for yourself.
Good deduction, Miss Carroll. Well, then what happened?
Well, we talked and talked, and then I got angry. I turned my back and walked toward the door.
Then, Miss Carroll?
And then Jimmy stabbed me, and I fainted.
No. No, Phyllis. No, I didn't.
But it must have been you, Jimmy. We were locked in the room alone. It had
just
to
a
be...
minute. Miss Carroll, is that your only reason for believing Parker stabbed you?
What? Why, yes.
Did you see a knife in the room previous to the attack?
No.
Did you see Parker walk toward you or know that he was approaching you before the blow was struck?
No.
Did he say anything just before you fainted?
Why, no.
Of course not.
Then all you know is that you were stabbed while locked in the room with Parker, and for that reason you suppose it was he that had done it.
Well, but how could it have been anyone else?
Didn't you ever hear of a knife thrower, Miss Carroll?
You mean somebody threw a knife at me from the window?
Why not? Wouldn't have been the first knife tossed through a window.
Well, then it wasn't, Jimmy. Then you didn't. Oh, Jimmy, I'm so ashamed.
Phil, I didn't do it. Honestly, I didn't.
Why, of course not. I know you didn't. Oh, Jimmy, can you ever forgive me?
Of course, Phil. It's all right. Here, take my handkerchief.
Oh, I've been such a fool.
Forget it.
But I've been so miserable. Oh, Jimmy, I felt so bad I could die.
It made me sick, Phil, when I found out you thought I'd done it. I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, I didn't want to think it, Jimmy, but I didn't see any other way out.
All right now, Parker, come on back to your chair. Your hands aren't clean in this business yet.
Well, of course he's innocent. It's silly even to think of it anymore.
Silly, huh? Well, then listen to what the mayor has to say on the subject. Go ahead, Dad.
Don't want to be dragged on murder trials.
Come on, Dad. Now, don't get temperamental.
Don't sass me, young fella. I don't care if you are a detective. You was my son first.
Look, Mayor, do you want this business cleaned up or don't you?
I was coming up on the porch after returning from Lammy Fink's cabin, where I left you folks.
Yes?
Heard a scream.
Girl's voice?
Naturally. Seeing how it was Miss Carroll.
All right, then what?
Well, I ran into the house and unlocked the door where them two youngsters been locked up.
Yes?
And there was this fella, Parker, standing over the girl with both his hands bloody, and he was holding a knife.
Well, what of it? Naturally, my hands would be bloody from pulling the knife out of Phyllis's shoulder, wouldn't they?
That sounds pretty thin. Why wasn't you doing something for the girl instead of just standing over her with the knife in your hand?
Well, I was so stunned by what had happened, I didn't know what I was doing.
Looks mighty funny to me.
Well, I can tell you some other things that look mighty funny, too. Why did you lock Phyllis and me up the first night? Where were you last night when old Clawfoot was roaming around? Why did Dr. Tuna here say you didn't have a telephone the first night we came? There's plenty for you fellas to explain, too, if you ask me.
Captain, take that kid out of here. Take him out.
Now, Dad.
Take him away, I say. Lock him up down at the city. Do anything you got a mind to, but get him out of my house. Me all fired presumption of kids in this day and age,
huh? Now, look here, Mayor. You haven't any call to be belligerent. You've been picking on him all evening.
Picking on him? Picking on him? He's guilty, ain't he?
I'm not so certain myself, Mayor.
Well, I am.
After all, Mayor, you haven't explained to us where you were while the Phantom was murdering that fellow at the back of the house last night.
I don't reckon I'm beholden to any of you. I'm mayor of the City of the Dead, and if I take it on myself to go down into the city among my citizens, it ain't anybody's business but my own.
Of course not, Dad. Now, let's just forget all this quarreling and see if we can't untangle some of these threads.
Yeah, I'm agreeable, Captain.
In the 2 days I've been here, one thing stands out. There's some force at work in the City of the Dead.
What you mean, force?
Some group or groups of people acting in their own interests down among the graves.
And I'd just like to lay my hands on them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are three possible places from which this force may originate.
Three?
Yes, Dr. Tuner, three. First, there's this Clawfoot Phantom of ours.
You know he's a murderer. Didn't we see him kill the fellow at my window?
He killed him, all right. What we don't know, however, is whether or not he's the force working against us. If he is against us, why did he attack the man who was trying to break in and disturb us?
By Jasper, Captain, you mean Clawfoot's working with us and again the enemy?
I don't know. Now then, the second source of this dangerous force may originate outside the City of the Dead.
Yes, that's it. That's it. It's an outside force that wants something here in the City of the Dead and is willing to murder every one of us to get it.
How do you know that, Parker?
Why, I'm pretty sure of it.
Why?
Well, oh, I don't know. I just think so.
No, never mind now. That'll keep. Let's get back to the original question, the source of our danger. I've named two, Clawfoot and an outside gang. I suppose I don't have to tell you the third source from which this force may be emanating.
Well, I reckon you'd better. I don't follow you, Captain.
Yes. Go on, son. Quit your intimating and come out straight.
I see you get what I mean anyway, Dad. All right, here it is. There's a fine chance that this malignant force we're fighting originates right in this little group.
You mean someone here's a murderer?
It's quite possible.
Horse feathers.
Why do you say that, Parker?
Well, if you're trying to put the blame for all this business on Phyllis and me, you're out of luck, that's all.
Why do you think I was accusing you? There are others in the room.
Well, you wouldn't be likely to accuse your own father of the murder.
No.
And you've known Dr. Tooner all your life.
Supposing I have.
And that leaves only Phyllis and me.
You can easily remove yourselves from the suspected group.
How?
Talk.
How do you know it wouldn't put us in deeper than ever?
Oh, Jimmy, no, it won't. Captain Friday will understand. We ought to tell. Honestly, we should.
I don't think so.
Don't be stubborn, Jimmy. Please let me tell.
I don't like it.
Please, Jimmy. Please.
Can't keep a thing, can you?
Jimmy, you know better than that. You know I'll never say a word until you give me permission.
But it's the same as... Oh, go ahead and tell it. After all, it's your story.
Jimmy, don't be angry. I've thought and thought about it, and any way I look at it, we'd be better off than we are now.
You know what would happen to us if they found us guilty.
But they couldn't do that. I know they couldn't.
How do you know what a jury would do?
Very well, Jimmy, if that's how you feel.
Go ahead and tell the whole thing. Maybe I'm all wet. Doesn't make much difference anyway. They're bound to find out if they keep looking.
That's right, Miss Carroll. We're bound to find out.
Oh, I don't know what to say now. Supposing I get us into a lot of trouble.
Well, go ahead, Phil. Anyway, we're in up to our neck as it is.
Well, please, could I have a glass of water first?
Yeah, of course you can. Shoulder hurting you?
Not too much. Just a numb ache.
All right, here. Here's a glass.
Thank you.
Now, we're ready when you are, Miss Carroll.
Well, I guess I should tell you first that I've known Jimmy Parker since I was 6 years old. He lived right across the street from me for 10 years.
Should know each other pretty well.
Oh, yes. We went to grammar school together and then to high school. In his senior year, his folks moved back east and Jimmy went with them. I didn't see him for a year then until he came back out here to attend the University of California.
That explains how he happens to be living in a hotel.
Yes. Well, now that you know about Jimmy and me, I guess I'd better go still further back. To my grandfather. My mother's folks. His name was Dr. Theodore Beverly, and he was...
What? What did you say?
Why, I said my grandfather was Dr. Theodore Beverly.
Well, I swan. You hear that, Mayor?
You mean Ted Beverly? Beverly that used to live on Van Ness Avenue before the San Francisco fire in 1906?
Oh, yes. Yes. Do you know him, Mayor Friday?
What are you doing down here in the City of the Dead?
Why...
I said, what are you doing down here? Captain... Captain, these young'uns are up to no good. No good, do you hear me? Pack of thieves and cutthroats, that's what they are.
If you just hold your horses, Mayor, you'd hear the reason why Phyllis and Jimmy are down here. Or would you? Are they, after all, the thieves and cutthroats the old caretaker wants us to believe? Personally, I have my doubts, but we'll know better in just a minute.
Hold on, Dad. Give Miss Carroll a chance.
I don't like it. I don't want her down here. I don't want her nor nobody else.
Never mind that, Mayor. Now, go ahead, Miss Carroll.
Well, before the 1906 fire and earthquake, my grandfather was a very wealthy man. He had a beautiful home on Van Ness Avenue with lawns and shrubbery and servants and, oh, just everything, I guess.
You're right there, Miss Carroll. I've seen your grandfather's place, and it did have everything.
All this part is just hearsay to me, you know. It was all over before I was born. Well, anyway, I learned just lately that Grandfather Beverly had a yen for collecting black pearls.
Yeah, listen to that, Doc. You hear what she says? Black pearls.
Yeah, I reckon I heard all right, Mary.
Yes, black pearls. Before the fire, he had one of the finest collections in the world. It was worth about $500,000.
That's a lot of money, Miss Carroll.
It wasn't for my grandfather, Captain Friday. He was very wealthy. Anyway, the fire came and destroyed his business and wiped out his home and left him just a little bit out of his mind. He never quite recovered from the shock.
What happened to him?
Oh, he lived for a long time after that. I remember him when I was a very small child. He was austere and gruff, and he walked with a kind of stoop. He always acted as though he had something awfully important on his mind.
Yep, I remember that characteristic. Used to have the habit of staring right through folks. Give a person a creep.
Yes, well, what finally became of him?
He was drowned. At least he disappeared, and about a week later, a body was taken from the waterfront, and the police identified it as my grandfather. But Mother was never sure.
Wasn't sure, huh?
No. She kept looking for him for 2 years, but it was no use. The body was finally buried out here in the City of the Dead, and things settled down to normal again.
Your grandfather left you and your mother quite wealthy, I take it?
Oh, no. Hardly anything. Only a little insurance.
Well, what became of his business, all his money?
I don't know very much about it. I was too little to understand while he was alive, and everyone's awfully vague about it now, but everything seemed to melt away without him to handle it.
Well, that might easily happen to a man's business, Miss Carroll, but it couldn't happen to anything as substantial as $500,000 worth of pearls. What became of them?
We never knew. Until quite recently.
Then you know now?
Well, we... I...
Well, answer. What's the matter with your tongue, young woman?
Look here, you don't have to talk to her like that.
Mind your own business, Parker.
Say, what's the matter with you anyway, Mayor? You act like you were sitting on a keg of dynamite.
I reckon the mayor's just a mite interested in Miss Carroll's story, that's all.
Got a mighty funny way of showing it.
Now then, if everyone has had his say, we'll go on. Miss Carroll, you do know where the black pearls are now.
Well, I know what became of them.
Who told you?
What? Why, no one told me.
Then how did you find out? Is that the reason you're down here in the City of the Dead?
Yes, Miss Carroll. How did you find out about the black pearls at this late date?
I had a birthday the 6th of last month. It was my 20th.
Yes?
On my birthday, I received a little package from Cartwright, Hobson, and Cartwright. The lawyers in the city, you know. And in the package was a letter from the firm saying that they were delivering a sealed package given them on the date of my birth by my grandfather.
Yes? Were the pearls in the package, Miss Carroll?
Why, no, Mayor Friday. It was much too small for that. It was just a big letter of instructions.
Instructions for what?
Telling where the black pearls actually were.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I was awfully excited. I called Jimmy at his hotel over in Berkeley and had him come over right away.
Just how many persons did you let in on your secret?
I didn't tell anyone but Jimmy.
What about your mother?
No, not even her. I wanted to keep it from her until I could be sure it was true.
So Parker here was the only one you confided in?
Yes.
Well, what did your grandfather's letter say?
It said that this letter was written to protect my future in case of my grandfather's death before I reached the age of 20. It said that my mother was his favorite relative, and that he'd always intended that the collection of black pearls should go to her first child.
That's you?
Yes. I was the only child born to my mother.
How many children were there in your grandfather's family?
Three. Two boys and my mother.
Are they living?
Uncle Robert may be alive. He disappeared after grandfather's death, and we haven't heard from him since. Uncle Franklin and his wife are both dead.
Did they leave any children?
Yes. One son.
What's his name?
Bert Arnold.
Where is he now?
Why, I...
Dead.
What's that?
I said he was dead. Murdered. It was his body you found strangled in old Morton's grave.
Gosh, all hemlock, Mayor.
And I can guess who did it.
I'll do the talking, Dad. You mean the murdered man was this girl's cousin? The only known living relative that might dispute her ownership of the black pearls?
That's what I said.
No wonder you didn't want to tell. The three of you down here in the City of the Dead alone at night. One of the three found strangled in an old grave. Another of you with fresh blisters on your hands. And the motive. $500,000 worth of black pearls.
You see, Phyllis, it's just as I said. Try to make a detective see light with all that evidence against us.
Oh, but Captain Friday, we didn't do it. We didn't.
What could your cousin have wanted in the City of the Dead?
What? Well, I suppose he came for the same reason we did.
And what was that?
To find the black pearls.
In the City of the Dead?
Yes.
Where?
Phil, don't tell him. That isn't necessary.
I'll let that go for now.
But look here, son. I think you ought to make him tell where those pearls are hidden.
I thought so. I'll bet you've known about them all along. That's why you're so anxious to keep everyone out of the City of the Dead. So you could hunt for them by yourselves, you and the doc.
Now, don't you go bringing me into your ruckus. I'm sitting on the sidelines.
Captain, if you don't make that young'un stop accusing me of things, I'm going to lambaste him.
Leave the mayor alone, Parker.
He started.
Never mind. Now, Miss Carroll, did you bring Bert Arnold down here with you the night he was murdered?
What? Why, I don't know what night he was murdered.
Didn't catch her, did you, mister?
No. Well, I'll put it this way. Did you bring him down to the City of the Dead with you the night Parker's car was stolen?
No.
Did you know he was down here, that he was coming down?
No. Honestly, we didn't.
Now then, you say the Black Pearls are buried here in the City of the Dead.
Yes. Oh, no.
That was a rotten thing to do. Let the pearls alone. They belong to Miss Carroll.
Well, well. So the pearls are buried in one of the graves in the City of the Dead.
She didn't say that.
She didn't need to. No wonder the City of the Dead has come alive by night. I wonder how many people in the world know about this.
Oh, probably a very few, Captain. And the whole City of the Dead had been dug up and redug by now. $500,000 ain't to be sneezed at.
Those pearls belong to Miss Carroll no matter who finds them.
Reckon they belong to the one who has them.
Well, Mayor Friday, if you aren't the lowest old codger...
Quiet, Parker. Miss Carroll, that letter of instructions from the law firm, where is it?
What?
We burned it.
That's a lie, Parker.
Prove it.
You'll be glad enough to bring it out when you go before a jury for murder.
You don't think I killed Bert Arnold. You know you don't. And what's more, you don't think I stabbed Phyllis.
You'd be surprised what I think. Do you know of anyone else who might have reason to stab her?
There's somebody else mighty anxious not to have her tell what she knows about those pearls.
Who?
If I knew, there wouldn't be any mystery. By the way, Mayor Friday couldn't throw a knife, could he? He had the opportunity.
Why, you young whippersnapper,
Hold it, Dad. That's enough out of you, Parker. Go on into your room.
But what about Phyllis?
Never mind about her. You get into your room before you get yourself in more trouble.
Afraid to look into your own father's actions too closely? Is that it, Captain?
Get into your room, Parker, now.
Okay, okay. Never mind the strong arm stuff.
Dad, I want to talk to you and Doc Tooner out in the kitchen. Miss Carroll, you'll be all right here for a few minutes.
Oh, yes, I'll be all right, I guess.
Well, if you feel uneasy or need anything, you just sing out.
Come on, Dad, in the kitchen.
Yeah? What for? What's this all about?
I think you know. Close the door, Doc. You and Doc Tooner have got to face it. Let's get it over with.
You'd think I was your prisoner instead of your father.
Now then, Dad, what's it all about?
Huh? What's what all about?
Come on, come on. Why all this mystery with me?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. You know plenty. And if it's on the level, why can't you trust me?
Ain't nothing to trust you with.
You and Dr. Tooner here have known about those black pearls all along.
I knew Doc was making a mistake when he confided in you.
Oh, you did you? Don't you suppose I know why you haven't been down in the City of the Dead to look for graves that might have been tampered with?
I wouldn't stick my nose in where it ain't wanted if I was you, son.
You've been opening the graves yourself, you and Doc. Fine pair you are. You, with your talk about being mayor of the City of the Dead and aiming to see that none of your sleeping citizens shall be disturbed.
No, Captain.
And you, Doc, with your pretty talk about coming down here to visit your old friends and patients. And all the time you've been digging into grave after grave for those black pearls. Aren't you ashamed of yourselves?
You ain't got no right to talk to your father like this, Captain.
I suppose you both know you could be sent up for the rest of your natural lives for this.
I don't reckon you'd do a thing like that, Captain Friday.
I ought to.
Captain, you're hurting your father mighty deep talking that way.
Well, what's he doing it for? Good heavens, man. He's got a trust here. He was put here to see that these sacred mounds of earth were not violated. And what has he done? Broken faith. Opened the graves himself.
I reckon you see now, Doc Tooner, why I didn't want to bring nobody else into the City of the Dead.
Captain, don't you reckon you better go a little easier on the mayor?
Why should I?
Well, after all, he's your father.
Of course, I know you didn't have any part in the things young Parker keeps hinting at.
Thanks.
Grave robbing's bad enough in itself without adding murder to it.
I reckon, son, if that's all you got to say, I'll be turning in.
Now, listen here, Dad. There's something more behind all this. You aren't disturbing the dead just for those pearls. There is something else, isn't there?
I reckon you had us lined up about right at the beginning, son. Doc and me are just a pair of skunks.
Look here, Doc.
I reckon your dad is right, Captain. Ain't no more use to discuss those.
That's Miss Carroll. Something's happened. Come on, you two.
No!
Miss Carroll, what is it? What's the matter?
Oh, look! Look there by the door!
Well, I'll be a son of a gun. Look, Doc, a visitor.
A skeleton. Captain, what's that thing doing here?
Where did it come from, Miss Carroll?
Oh, can't get away! Can't get away!
Now, Miss Carroll, I don't reckon a skeleton can hurt you much. Supposing you tell us how it got there so we can do something about it.
Well, the door just suddenly opened and the skeleton walked in and collapsed on the floor. And then the door was pulled clothes.
Dang glad of a skeleton to do that, if you ask me.
Hey, Doc, come here and look at this.
What in the name of Sam Hill are you doing to it, Captain?
Now look, the bones are joined together with pieces of wire.
Now, what sort of monkey business is this?
Here, look, a message tied about its neck.
Message? What does it say?
It says, I have come to you out of the grave marked Theodore Beverly, but I do not belong in his grave. I am not his skeleton.
Theodore Beverly? Why, that's Miss Carroll's grandfather.
My grandfather!
Grab her, Doc. She's fainted.
And now the very skeletons in the City of the Dead are coming up out of their graves to identify themselves. But what does the message mean? I am out of the grave marked Theodore Beverly, but I am not his skeleton. And what has all this to do with the Phantom Church Bell and Old Clawfoot? Many of these things will be revealed to you next week when you hear Episode 6 of Carlton E. Morse's City of the Dead, entitled The Ghoul in the Grave. Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
Midnight, on the third night in the old abandoned graveyard, better known as the City of the Dead. A melancholy silence has settled on the cottage of Mayor Joshua Friday, lifelong caretaker of the old cemetery. Jimmy Parker, a prisoner, sleeps uneasily in one bedroom. His girlfriend, Phyllis Carroll, lies in a bed before the flickering embers of the dying front room fire. The knife wound in her back breaks her light breathing with barely audible moans. Dr. Tooner is sleeping heavily on the lounge, ready to attend her at an instant notice. The mayor and his son, Captain Friday, private investigator, occupy the double bed in the bedroom assigned to Miss Carroll before she was stabbed. Earlier this evening, but let Captain Friday tell it.
Earlier in the evening, a skeleton had suddenly been thrust through the front door to collapse on the rug almost at Phyllis Carroll's feet. It was a skeleton neatly wired together, joint by joint. Around its spinal column was fastened a message which said, I have come out of the grave marked Theodore Beverly, but I do not belong in his grave. I am not his skeleton. Theodore Beverly was Miss Carroll's grandfather and was supposedly buried in the City of the Dead 14 years ago. He likewise had buried $500,000 worth of black pearls in the City of the Dead before he died and left instructions where to find them. In papers received by his granddaughter on her 20th birthday.
Yes, that's why Jimmy Parker and I came down to the old cemetery here. And now this skeleton has come up out of my grandfather's grave to tell me that he is not my grandfather and should not have been buried in my grandfather Beverly's tomb.
Yes, well, Miss Carroll went all to pieces over the presence of the skeleton. And it had taken several hours to get the household settled down for the night and to lay the skeleton out decently in the shed at the rear of the house. Finally, a semblance of quiet had descended upon the house, and its occupants had retired to their rest. And so came midnight.
Oh.
Shoulder hurting you, Miss Carroll?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Tooner. I didn't mean to awaken you.
You didn't. It was that caterwauling outside.
I was just dropping off to sleep when it began. Why do you suppose it does that? Makes that awful noise. Captain Friday swears it's human.
Don't worry about old Clawfoot. You feel feverish?
No, just uncomfortable.
I see. Open your mouth. And put the thermometer under your tongue. There. Have you slept at all?
Mm-mm.
Why, Tucker, didn't you say so? I'd have given you something. How was I to know you were awake when you lay there as still as a log?
Mm-hmm.
Here, now, hold your tongue still. I'll do the talking. You haven't been worrying, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I tell you not to talk? Here, let me have that thermometer. Just a mite of fever. Not enough to keep you awake. I'm going to give you a sleeping powder and tuck you in. I want you to go to sleep.
I'll try.
What in tunkage is that?
Oh, that came from Jimmy's room.
Hi! Hi out there! What's the matter? Is Phyllis all right?
What's the matter with you, Parker?
I can't sleep. I heard someone talking. Is Phyllis worse?
No, Phyllis is not worse. She's trying to get some sleep.
Look here, doctor. Let me out of this room. Let me sit beside her the rest of the night. I won't run off.
Hey, who's making all this rumpus? Who is that pounding?
Oh, you awake too, Captain? Young Parker's pounding on his door. He wants out.
He does, huh? What do you want, Parker?
I can't sleep, Captain Friday. Let me sit by Phyllis the rest of the night. I won't run away.
Why should I do that?
Well, I'd feel easier.
Oh, I'm sure I could sleep if Jimmy was sitting by me.
You kids aren't up to something, are you?
Oh, no, really. I feel too woozy, and Jimmy wouldn't go away without me.
Hello. Old Clawfoot's out again tonight.
Yeah, he's been around for the last hour, up to some new devilment, I suppose.
Aren't you going to let me out?
All right. Come on out.
I promise you I won't try to escape.
You won't try if you know what's good for you.
That room gives me the creeps. Did you hear old Clawfoot at it again?
How could we help it?
I caught a glimpse of him through the bars of my window. He was out there by the shed.
You mean where we put the skeleton?
Say, I'd forgotten the skeleton. Yes, that's right where he was.
That bird's got a nose for old bones. I think we better investigate. Doc, you stay here with Miss Carroll. Parker, you come with me.
Captain, is the mayor sleeping through all this?
What? Oh, Dad? Oh, I guess he is. Tell you what I'll do. I'll lock his door so nothing will disturb him. Let him sleep.
Now, what in tunker are you locking the mayor in for?
I just told you. Didn't you hear me, Doc?
Sounds like a lot of foolishness to me.
Oh, never mind. Let's go, Parker.
You all right, Phyllis?
I'm all right, Jimmy. Don't worry about me.
Come along, Parker.
Yeah, okay.
You sure you saw old Clawfoot hanging around the shed?
You don't think I could mistake him, do you?
This is the screwiest business. Yeah, keep on the grass.
Listen. The church bell.
If that isn't coming up the valley from the old church ruins, nothing ever did. Hello, you were right, Parker. The shed door's open.
Golly, I wonder if...
Let's have a look. The skeleton's gone.
Door broken open and the skeleton gone.
Not a sign of him. We laid him out on the bench there, didn't we? Look around outside for footprints.
Yeah, it's hard to see anything, even with the moonlight.
Yeah, but no fog. See anything? Nothing over here.
I don't think so. Hey! Captain Friday, come here.
What have you found?
Some kind of a bone.
Bone? Well, look what you found. You know what this is, Parker?
No.
One of the bones off the foot of our skeleton.
Off the skeleton?
Looks like he dropped something in his escape.
Yeah, but Captain...
Look over there. There's another. Yeah, who says a skeleton can't leave a trail? Come along. Maybe we'll find another one.
But it's taking us down into the city of the dead.
What of it? Graveyard's a natural place for a skeleton, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so, but...
I was right. Here's another bone. Looks like an ankle bone, doesn't it?
I don't know. I never studied anatomy. Do you think old Clawfoot has done this? Strung that skeleton's bones out over the country this way?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
But why?
I wish I knew. That's the reason we're following this trail of bones. If there's a purpose, we'll find it out soon enough.
Oh, there's another bone.
Where?
There ahead, glistening in the moonlight.
Oh, so there is. Ah, it's a bone from the skeleton's lower leg. Looks like old bag of bones is going to pieces fast.
Yeah, well, so am I. I don't like trailing skeletons in a cemetery. Not with that claw-footed thing slinking around.
I think I see another bone ahead. The trail's leading us down toward the old church. Who knows? Maybe we'll find another message.
Messages tied around the neck of a skeleton. That's about the limit.
It was a weird bit, wasn't it? Let's see. What was it now? I have come to you out of the grave marked Theodore Beverly, but I do not belong in his grave. I am not his skeleton.
That sounds as though the man who was buried as Phyllis's grandfather wasn't her grandfather at all. Do you think that's what the message intended to say? You know, Phyllis's mother never was certain that the body was that of Theodore Beverly.
Well, that was a good many years ago. If no one could be certain back at that time, how could anyone know for certain at this late date?
I don't know. After all, who wrote the note?
Hello. Here's a bone from the upper leg. What do you suppose we'll find next?
Look here, Captain Friday. Let's not carry this thing out any further. Let's go back to the house and wait till morning.
I should say not.
But you don't know what kind of a trap you're running us into.
Trap?
Yes, trap. Listen.
Just the phantom church bell again.
Look. Look over there. Didn't you see something move?
I did not.
Well, I did.
I doubt it. You're just plain scared.
I tell you, I'm not. I saw something. Something creeping. Something in the shadows of the tombstones.
Rot.
It isn't rot. It isn't. It's something alive. There are creeping things all around us. I tell you, I can see them everywhere.
And I wish to heaven you'd point some of them out to me. I can't see a thing. Except up ahead, I see another bone.
I tell you, I'm going back.
You're going ahead with me.
I'm not.
Parker, are you going to come along?
No.
Then you are, and quick. I have a gun here, Parker, and it's loaded.
Pretty brave with a gun in your hand, aren't you?
I'll give you until I count to three to start walking toward that next bone.
I won't move.
One. Two.
Go ahead and shoot.
I'm not going to shoot you, Parker. I just wanted to see if you were really as yellow as you were trying to make out.
Yellow?
Sure. Trying to kid me into believing you're deathly afraid of a cemetery at night.
What about it?
You haven't seen anything to make you scared, and you know it. And you wouldn't be as scared as you pretended, even if you did see all those creeping horrors you were babbling about. Creeping horrors.
Hmm. Pretty smart, aren't you?
Any man who'll stand up against a gun as you've just done isn't very much afraid of anything.
Thanks for nothing.
So, as I've got it figured out, there's some very definite reason why you don't want us to go any further.
Go ahead and figure all you like.
I'm all through figuring tonight, fella. I know now why you balked on me.
How do you know?
Because I have the same suspicion as you where this trail of bones is leading us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. You think, and so do I, that someone is guiding us to the place where the Beverly Pearls are buried.
What is this trail of bones? This search for a king's ransom in pearls? What are these messages from the grave? If the skeleton in the grave of Miss Carroll's grandfather is not her grandfather, then who is it? And where is Grandfather Beverly, supposedly for so long at his rest? And why? But more in just a moment.
Captain Friday, I tell you, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do, Parker. You think, and so do I, that someone is guiding us to the place where the Beverly Pearls are buried.
No, nothing of that kind. It's not true.
Oh, yes, it is. Now then, are you going to come along with me to find out, or do you want me to go on alone?
I wasn't thinking about the Black Pearls.
Deuce, you weren't. Look here, Parker, there's no use trying to kid me. I can read a man's face, and I know exactly what's been passing through your mind. Now, if you like, I'll take you back to the house and lock you in, and then return alone.
I'll go along with you.
I thought you would.
Oh, I wish that bell would stop that.
Forget about it. Look, here's another little heap of foot bones. Skeleton's lost his second foot now. And right up there ahead is... no, it's his ankle bone.
Well, I'll certainly know bone structure of the human body by the time I get out of this place.
Too bad you're not studying medicine over at the University of California. Look at the starch you'd have on most of the fellas.
No, thank you. And I'm not growing up to be a grave digger either.
Well, here's the bone of the lower left leg. We're getting well down into the city of the dead, do you realize that?
Yeah, we must have come a mile.
If it was just a little lighter, we'd be able to see the outline of the old church.
I wish I knew who threw that knife that stabbed Phyllis.
A number of things I'd like to know. For instance, I'd give a half share in the Rockefeller Foundation to know how come Lammy Fink was scared to death. And who burned down Lammy's shack. And who it was that tried to get into your room and was murdered by old Clawfoot. And who Clawfoot is. And who filled up Ernie Morton's grave. And who tried to shoot Dad down in the old church. And who...
and what your father does every night when he slips out of the house after everyone else is asleep.
There's another bone that makes both feet and legs of our skeleton. We ought to gain on him fast now that he's left his lower extremities behind.
Look, there's a little pile of bones over to the left.
Oh, so there is. If I'm not mistaken, those are the bones of his fingers and right hand.
And I'd still like to know what the mayor does when he slips out.
You'll be just as well off, Parker, if you don't wonder too much. Come on.
Well, we'd probably find out a lot about this mystery if we did know.
I'll tend to that end of the matter. Well, there's the bones of the left hand in a nice little pile.
Wonder what's become of old Clawfoot himself. Certainly made himself absent since we come out of the house.
He's a little like the pink flea. Here one moment and where the next.
Well, anyway, your father won't be out tonight, seeing you locked him in before we
let the mayor alone. Hello, we must be getting near the end of the trail. There's the two forearms of our skeleton together.
Look here, Captain Friday. What do you really expect to find at the end of this trail?
I don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised if it were the pearls. The why in the deuce anyone would want to give the secret away, I don't know.
No one knows where the pearls are hidden but Phyllis and myself.
Well, if you knew, why didn't you dig them up the first night, the night you were taken prisoners by the mayor and Doc Tooner?
You
certainly did some digging. The blisters on your hand show that.
Oh, I dug all right.
Well, did you find anything?
I guess I miscalculated in the dark.
Did you dig in just one grave?
I didn't say I opened a grave.
Well, then, did you dig in just one spot?
Yeah.
Why did you give up so easily?
Well, we thought we heard someone moving around in the City of the Dead, and Phyllis got scared. She wouldn't let me try a second time.
Heard someone, huh? Did you see anyone?
Just shadows. We couldn't be sure it was anyone. Phyllis was nervous about being down here anyway, and you can't blame her.
No, I suppose not. Then what happened?
Well, there's some more bones, Captain.
Oh, good. The two upper arms. We must be getting close. There isn't a heck of a lot left to this skeleton. Now, well, go on. What happened after Miss Carroll insisted that you leave the City of the Dead?
We went back to the car, which we left on the road outside the City of the Dead above the mayor's cottage.
Didn't you fill up the grave?
You mean the hole, don't you?
Yes. Didn't you fill up the hole you dug?
No. We left in kind of a hurry.
Then my cue is to look for the excavation.
A lot of good it'll do you.
Why do you say that?
Because I've seen the spot since, and it's been filled up.
It has? You certain?
Yeah, I know it has.
When did you have the opportunity of investigating? You've been locked up since that night.
I saw the place the day you took me down into the City of the Dead and discovered that Ernie Morton's grave had been opened.
Oh, so that's it.
Look there.
Well, ain't that something? Our skeleton has had the audacity to leave his pelvis bone lying right out in the open. I suppose we'll find a trail of ribs and vertebrae scattered along ahead of us next.
Yeah, I suppose so.
By George, Parker, why didn't I think of it before? I know where we're headed for.
Yeah? Where?
I'll bet your money this trail is going to lead us directly to Ernie Morton's grave.
Oh, you don't say.
I most certainly do say. I'll be a mighty disappointed man if I don't find the grinning skull of our friend the skeleton perched on Ernie Morton's headstone.
There's a couple of ribs. Two more of them down there about 20 yards.
Good enough. We'll be in sight of Ernie's grave in a few minutes now.
Well, what will you do if the trail does end there?
We'll sit down and keep guard until morning, and then first thing after breakfast, we'll reopen that grave. There must be something buried there. All the activity seems to center around the place.
Well, if you're going to do it by daylight...
Shut up, Parker. I hear something.
What is it?
Shh, listen.
Someone's digging over there.
Not a word now. Follow me.
Yeah.
We'll sneak up on the grave robber. Keep down in the shadows of the headstone.
I can see his outline.
Be careful, he'll hear you. Look. Look there on the headstone.
The skull.
The skull of our skeleton. The end of the trail. And it is Ernie Morton's grave. Oh, if that fellow would turn around, I'd be able to see his face in the moonlight.
Look. Look. Now you can see who it is.
Dr. Tooner, why are Jimmy and Captain Friday staying out there so long? Do you think anything's happened?
No, you don't need to worry about them. Captain Friday can take care of himself and young Parker.
But they were just going out to examine the shed, and they've been gone almost an hour.
And then you just settle down there and go to sleep. Hasn't that powder I gave you made you drowsy?
Yes, but I keep thinking... Oh, he's right outside.
Well, I don't reckon it matters much if he is.
But why don't Jimmy and Captain Friday drive him away?
You can't tell. Maybe they're trying to trail old Clawfoot, and he gave him the slip and came back to the house.
Oh, but what does he want here? Why does he keep hanging around the house?
Well, you're not afraid with me here, are you, Miss Carroll?
No, but I wish Jimmy was back in the house.
Yeah, I reckon you're safe enough. And then there's the mayor sleeping right in the next room. Oh, goodness knows how he can sleep with all this ruckus.
But his door's locked. He wouldn't be any good to us if anything should happen.
Mm-hmm. He could break the lock easy enough. It's tolerably old. But there isn't any need, young lady.
Oh, I am afraid, Dr. Tooner. Maybe Jimmy and Captain Friday were lured away from the house on purpose.
Trickity, I never thought of that. See, maybe I'd better wake up DeMere. Then if he says so, I'll bust the lock. Captain had no business locking the door in the first place.
Oh, I wish you would. Oh, listen to him. Look, look.
What didn't took?
Look, look at the window. Look at the window.
Where? I don't see it.
He was there. He was there at the window staring in at me.
Who, old Clawfoot?
Yes, yes. Oh, it was horrible.
Getting mighty brave. I'm going to arouse the mayor. Mayor! Hi, Mayor! Mayor Friday!
Oh, hurry! Hurry! I can hear that thing prowling around outside the house.
He's sleeping dang heavy, even for the mayor.
Try again.
Hi there, Mayor! Mayor Friday! Hi in there, Mayor!
What do you suppose is the matter with him?
Dang funny, I can't get a sound out of him. Listen a moment, see if I can hear him breathing.
What do you suppose makes him do that?
I can't hear the mayor at all. That's funny, too, because he always snores like a foghorn when he's sleeping heavily.
You don't suppose something has happened to him, too, do you?
What could happen to a man in there? The windows are barred and the door's been locked ever since Captain Friday left.
But the windows were barred and the door was locked when someone stabbed me.
Jehoshaphat, I wonder if the mayor's been stabbed. I'm going to open that door.
Oh, yes, please. I think you ought to. Oh, Dr. Tooner, I'm so frightened.
You got me going now.
He's at the window again. He's at the window. Oh, make him go away.
Well, what do you want me to do? Wave the tablecloth at him? Now, you keep still. I can't do more than one thing at a time, and I'm going to see what's happened to the mayor.
All right.
Don't look at the window if he frightens you.
Oh, I can't help it. What are you going to do with that chair?
I'm
going to
break in the mayor's door. I wished I had a gun. I'd take a pop at that thing. That Bernie's wailing anyway.
Oh, please hurry with the door. What are you doing now?
I'm moving the other furniture back so I can get a good swing. Now then, we'll see how strong that lock is. It's harder than I thought.
You've broken the leg off the chair.
No, blast the chair. She's given away. There she is.
Is he in there? Is he all right, Dr. Tooner?
It's blacker than Sam Scratch in here. Where's the mayor's flashlight?
They're on the table.
Yeah, now we'll know in about a half a minute. Watch what?
Doctor? Dr. Tooner? What's the matter? What's happened in there? Oh, Dr. Tooner? Dr. Tooner?
He ain't here. The mayor ain't any place in that room.
He's not there.
Not hiding her hair of him.
Oh, but... Oh, are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I even looked under the bed for the body.
Oh, but how did he get out? Are the bars still in the window?
Yeah, I looked especially to see. Now, if that ain't the craziest thing I ever heard tell of.
Oh, but he must be there.
Well, he ain't.
Oh, but people simply can't just disappear through a locked door. They can't.
Well, the mayor's gone and done it.
Oh, but if the mayor's disappeared, then one of us may be next.
I don't calculate that makes me feel any better.
Oh, I wish Jimmy was here. Oh, where is he? Dr. Tooner, do you suppose he and Captain Friday have vanished, too?
No, I ain't thinking of anything, except I'm going out and clean up on that claw-footed son of a gun in about a half a minute.
Oh, please, you won't leave me, will you? Promise me you won't.
Don't reckon you need to worry on that score. I ain't one of them brave fellas that goes out looking for trouble. No, I'll stay here with you, all right.
Oh, but what'll we do? You don't suppose that thing...
What thing?
Well, whatever it was that got the mayor... You don't think it's still in the house, do you?
Well, how should I know? I don't even know that the mayor's been got.
Well, if something hasn't got him, then what has become of him?
Does your imagination always work overtime this way? A fella could get the creeps just sitting listening to you imagining things. Well,
I'm sorry if I'm acting badly, but nothing like this ever happened to me before.
And it doesn't happen to me every day either, thank heaven.
If that thing outside the door would only go away, I wouldn't feel this way, but... Dr. Tooner, look. Look at the front door. It's opening.
Gosh sakes, I forgot to lock it.
Oh, hurry. Hurry. Lean against it. Oh, hold it shut. Don't let him get it open.
I've got it. If I can push it shut, who's out there?
Oh, can't you hold it? Can't you hold it?
I'm trying my dangest. Whoever's on the other side of that door is as strong as an ox.
It's the claw-footed phantom. You mustn't let him get in. You mustn't. You mustn't.
I can't get any hold with my feet. He's gaining on me. I'm slipping.
Dr. Turner, the fireplace poker's on the rack. Can you reach it?
Good. It'll give me something to fight with.
Oh, can you reach it?
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to let go of the door and crack him over the head with the poker when he comes in.
Oh, be careful. Oh, you missed him. Look out, Dr. Turner. Look out. He's got a knife.
And if he comes within range of this poker,
Oh, no. No. You've killed Dr. Turner. You've killed Dr. Turner. Oh, don't. Don't. Go away. Don't look at me like that. Go away. Go away. Oh, don't come near me. Don't come near me. Oh, please. Please go away. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Jimmy! Jimmy! Oh, no.
Terror of old Clawfoot has descended on the old caretaker's cottage. What of the girl's peril, alone in the presence of the wailing phantom? What of the ghoul caught digging in Ernie Morton's grave? What of the skeleton that walks, the phantom church bell, the buried treasure of black pearls? Listen at this same hour next week when we bring you Chapter 7 of the Carlton E. Morse adventure drama, City of the Dead. Listen to Chapter 7, entitled Captain Friday Vanishes.